The time is advanced. Let me just read some scriptures. Titus 3 has already been read. I would like to read the corresponding verse from Titus 3. Here it says, from verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He poured on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here it speaks of regeneration by the Spirit, of an abundant outpouring of the Spirit. And I mean, when we read God's Word, we should take it to heart and say, "Lord, we are not satisfied with the reports, not with what others have experienced. What good would it do you and me if in the early church the Spirit had been poured out abundantly in the churches, if regeneration, the new birth, if all these things had happened, and they were not happening on us too? When we read such scriptures, then a great desire rises up in us, and a prayer comes out of our heart, "Lord, do the same to us. Do it to me. Do it to all of us." The singers sang of the latter rain in Zechariah 10, verse 1, it says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain." Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain and of the former rain. At the beginning of the New Testament church, it was about the early rain. At the end of the New Testament church, it is about the latter rain. It is the same outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if they asked for it and experienced the outpouring of the Spirit, shouldn't we have faith and pray in the same way and experience the same thing? For this is the promise: ask ye the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. We know the end of all things is at hand. The New Testament church recognized and experienced its beginning in a wonderful way. God bore witness in their midst. The Holy Spirit was poured out. In the same way, the church is to experience the glorious and wonderful work of the Holy Spirit at the end. If we want to know what happens at the end, we must know what happened at the beginning. After all, today is Pentecost Sunday. Let us read the book of Acts, so that the longing will grow even greater in us. Acts 2, from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And then all the different languages are listed, 16, 17 in number. The Holy Spirit had fallen, and we see it was not these men of Galilee who spoke. They would have spoken in their own language. Here the Spirit spoke through them, for it is written, they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as they reasoned in their minds, but as the Spirit wrought in them. Then we read on in the second part of verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. There will always be at least two, three groups who have different views and opinions. But the God-fearing ones, they asked, What does it all mean? They were concerned, they were perplexed, and they said to one another, What does this mean? From verse 14 we But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. This enumeration here does not go into detail about the gifts of the Spirit, but this much we note. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, he seizes the person, his eyes, his mouth, his consciousness, his subconsciousness. Dreams are in the subconsciousness. We have no control over them. But revelations are said to happen in dreams. God seizes the whole man to put him in his service, to glorify himself through him. Of course, we know that a lot has been done in the past. But we also know that God has the real thing, the true, available for the church that He has called out. It does us no good at all to look at this or that church and say, oh, so much has already been done with these things. That is not your problem and my problem. That is their problem. Our question is, what has God done? God wants to do something. The enemy wants to do harm. But God wants to do. With whom can He do something? Where people place themselves at His disposal, the consciousness and the subconsciousness, the mouth, the lips, everything at His disposal. And as is reported here, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Often enough in the last few years, I have asked and said, why cloven tongues like as of fire? Our tongues are most in need of divine fire, because our tongues do the most harm. But the moment the Holy Spirit comes upon us and the fire of God touches our tongue, then the great deeds of God are proclaimed. Then no harm is done. Then God accomplishes something in me and in you and through all of us. Here, Peter was able to say in the first sermon, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose. No, here the promise of the prophet Joel is fulfilled. In the last days, saith God, not a man made the promise. God made the promise. And as long as the time of grace is with us, and the last days are still here, the promise is valid. Peter says, the promise is for you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. It goes on to say, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where the Holy Spirit can work, when the word is preached, people are saved, healed, blessed. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the word is empty. But if the Holy Spirit can work, then the word is accomplishing in your heart and life what God sent it to do. And that is what we want. We don't want to imitate anything Pentecostal, but we want to experience a real, true filling with the Holy Spirit, a being joined and melted together, so that we can form a divine unity. May the Lord have shown you and me from His Word that these things have been promised and that they still have their validity today, that we can still experience and receive today what God has promised. Peter did not need to make many words. He said, ye men, here is fulfilled what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. The word took shape. The word was fulfilled. The promise became a reality in the believers. We already talked about this last night. If we want the final promises that God has made to still be fulfilled, then let me say here today, unless the main promise is fulfilled, otherwise the other promises remain unfulfilled. And the main promise for the church is, ye will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. After this main promise, as I would like to call it, was fulfilled in Jerusalem, all the other promises found their fulfillment. Sinners were saved, the sick were healed, the possessed were set free. But Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high. The many promises God has made to the church are embedded in this main promise to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. After that, the fulfillment of all the other promises comes, so to say, by itself. That is, God can fulfill them in simplicity. Now, after this service, we have a water baptism. I hope that all those who want to be baptized already know what baptism is about, that they have read about it in the Bible, and that we don't need to talk about it at length here. Perhaps before we baptize, we will take the time to read the text that belongs to it. May God bless us all. May He keep the heavens open above us and let the blessing flow down in a mighty way. We will take a few more minutes to pray together. Maybe I'll just read you this one scripture, if I can find it, from Romans, where it says that all have lifted up their voices together, because in churches and denominations you are not used to that, and sometimes you feel a little disturbance in doing that, and that little disturbance can rob us of the great blessing, and that would be too bad. Romans 15, verse 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If God has created the mind of Jesus, the concord, the union with one another and with Him, if that is the case, then with one accord, as with one mouth, we can praise God, our Father, from the heart, in the name of Jesus Christ. The question is, has God been able to work the mind of Jesus, this united mind, among us, in you and me? If so, then lift up your voice, open your mouth, and may the abundance of the heart overflow with praise and worship to our God, so that with one mouth you may with one accord praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, they were of one accord in prayer, of one mind, and the Holy Spirit fell. May God truly grant this unity by grace. And it says, how pleasant it is where brethren dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 133. May God bless us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Let us do it together. It need not to be too loud and not too quiet. just as the Spirit of God urges and guides us. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart that your word will accomplish what you have sent it to do. You have called us out, taken away our stubbornness, and given us the mind of Jesus, so that we come into one accord among ourselves and worship you together as from one mouth and praise your name. Savior, we praise the power of your blood, the power of your word, and the power of your Spirit. Work in a mighty way. Lord, you know what each individual needs, what moves them, what they plead for. Savior, intervene. Do not stay away and be silent no longer, but answer. Let the word become reality and the promises come to fulfillment. Savior, we praise you. You are present. Hallelujah. You bless. I thank you for this. You are making a mighty way among your people to bless and to bring us to perfection. May we pass all tests and emerge victorious from all trials by your grace, Lord. Sometimes it seems as if your people have been defeated, as if Goliath is challenging us. But you are our David. You have conquered. I thank you for that. May the victory of the cross of Calvary be revealed in all its power and glory, to the praise and honor of your holy name of Jesus. Amen.